There's a day just out in front of us that I know will surely come. And that eastern sky will open wide, revealing God's dear Son. No, from here to heaven is but a twinkling of an eye. In the midst of all His glory, we'll hear the sweetest cry. Welcome home, I knew you'd come. Welcome home, you're here for good. Look around, was it worth the wait? Welcome home, step through the gate. And I believe, at least for me, I'll see my mom and dad, my brothers and my sisters there, and everywhere I look are friends. Oh, the greetings will be precious from those we've loved so dear. But no mortal man has ever heard the likes of when he hears. Welcome home, I promised you. Welcome home, you're here for good. Look around, was it worth the wait? Welcome home, step through the gate. Welcome home, step through the gate. Hey, amen. That'll be good to hear, won't it? Welcome home. Amen. Those folks up there at the nursing home, they like to hear that. You know why? That puts their mind on heaven. You know why? They know this world ain't their home. They've lived enough life, they've gone through enough stuff that they don't want to stay here. Amen? You gotta be careful getting comfortable in this world. I'm not saying that you can't have a good time in the Lord and do some things. Just be careful of getting comfortable here. Amen. Shokum. There we go. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, heaven's not your home. Amen. Before you leave out of here tonight, you need to know if heaven is your home. You need to know where you're going to go when you die. Amen. Amen? You need to have some assurance of that thing. Help you sleep at night. Amen?
Amen.
I sleep good at night. You know why? I know where I'm going. Suppose tonight when you close your eyes, you take your final breath. All the years you spent here on earth, and not a minute would you have left. Did you ever ask the Lord to save you? Ever get down on your knees and pray? Do you know what you're gonna hear when you face Him on Judgment Day? Will He say, enter in, my good and faithful one? Will He say, depart from me, I never knew you and the wicked things you've done? Will you enter into heaven's gates or hellfire down below? Close your eyes for the final time. Do you know where you will go? If you're having any doubts tonight about where you'll spend eternity, you better get yourself some reassurance, better get down on your knees. Crying, Abba, Father up in heaven, please forgive me for what I've done. Wash my heart just as white as snow, Lord, wash me in your precious blood. Will he say, enter in my good and faithful one? Will he say, depart from me, I never knew you and the wicked things you've done? Will you enter into heaven's gates or hellfire down below? Close your eyes for the final time. Do you know where you will go? Will he say, enter in my good and faithful one? Will he say, depart from me, I never knew you and the wicked things you've done? Will you enter into heaven's gates or hellfire down below? Close your eyes for the final time, but do you know where you will go? Amen. 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 You got to tell them about sin before you can tell them about Jesus. Amen. They got to know what they're being saved from. Man, I tell you what, you know who tries to talk us out of that is this world. They say, well, focus on the love of Jesus. Well, where's the love of Jesus if you don't understand what you're being saved from? Amen? If I never sinned, well, what did he take that beating for? Listen, it's not mean to preach on sin. Brother, it's cruel to not preach on sin. Amen? Amen. God sure is good. I tell you, he's blessed me in a mighty way. He saved me. That's the thing I'm grateful for, is he saved me. See, I know me. I mean, you know, just as I look at you, I see what I see. Y'all look like good folks. But I know me, and you know you. And you know what God saved you from. And deep down inside, when someone talks about that, if you know what you've been saved from, you sit inside and you go, woo! You might not do that, but that's what you're thinking inside, amen? Lord's good. Again, I appreciate this church. I appreciate being here and the opportunity to be here. And just what a blessing you folks are. And just, it's been really, really good. We've enjoyed ourselves. Take your Bible tonight and turn... Take your Bible and turn back over to 1 Kings, 1 Kings 18. Let's continue there where we were. Get turned over here. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're back here with Elijah. First Kings chapter 18, verse 46. Verse 46 says this, 1846, 1 Kings 1846 says, let me read verse 45, I'll read verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, there was a great rain and water. You know, water was restored there. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I believe that he was running down there. I believe he could have rode with Ahab. But the requirement to that thing was that Ahab would have needed to ride into the palace to kick out Jezebel. And Elijah knew that he wasn't going to do that. Elijah knew that no matter what Ahab had seen that day, he saw the true power of God. Ahab made his choice, and that was to stay with Jezebel. He'd rather stay with that wicked woman than to turn to the loving God of Israel. Amen? So I believe that Elijah ran on ahead to proclaim the great victory. And that's where we find him. Brother, would you stand and pray? Would you pray and open up this thing? My friend Brandon.
Dear Lord, thanks for this day. Thank you for bringing out David and Patty. Lord, I pray that you bless the sermon. Speak through it, Lord. Lord,
yes.
Prepare our hearts and
yes.
our minds to receive this message. Let it make an impact on us. Let us have a good evening. Give them safe travels while when they go back home. In
your
name, amen.
Amen, amen. I like victories. Amen? Y'all like victories? See, this is where I insert an Ohio State, Michigan joke, but I'm not. I'll get away from all that.
Come on.
I apologize. Listen, when I first got hurt, I got into wheelchair basketball. We played wheelchair basketball back in those days, back when I weighed like 100 pounds less. And I went and ended up playing wheelchair basketball for University of Kentucky. And I had a great time doing that. But the thing I liked more than anything is I loved winning. I loved the victories of that. And we traveled around quite a bit. We went to Arkansas, and we'd go to Florida, and we'd go all these places, and we did all these things. And, you know, some guys liked the travel. Some guys liked, you know, just the being out. I liked when we won. And then when we won, I wanted to win again. You know, winning is great. I like being on the winning side. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're on the winning side. Let's start acting like we're winning. You know, I see folks in church all the time. They come in and it's like they lost. So wait a minute, you didn't lose. You're saved. You have a home in heaven. You say, well, things aren't working out for me just right. Maybe not, but God's still on the throne. He's still good. Amen? Do you ever think about this? You can go right now and pray and be immediately in the throne room with God. You. If you're saved, you can do that. I'm telling you, no one's ever had access to the Lord like what Christians do. Amen? And so our text starts out pretty good. The prophets of Baal are defeated. The thirsty land is getting some much-needed rain. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Man, that sounds pretty good to me. Who wouldn't want the hand of the Lord on you? Woo! Amen? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel, yeah, you'd figure that, wouldn't you? I bet he ran back down there and said, you're never going to believe this. I thought he was the king. But apparently she's running the show. Because he ran down there, and that's the first thing he wanted to do is tell her what was going on. You know what he was looking for? He was looking for comfort. He knew he backed the wrong side. And he was looking for her to give him some comfort now. Right? Whew. God forbid you ever choose to find comfort in something other than the Lord. Amen? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. God's victory was clear to everyone but Jezebel. Why? She never showed up for it. She didn't come down there to see what had happened that day. She stayed back there in the palace. You know why? Because if she'd have showed up, they'd have took her down there to the brook, and she'd have gone by the wayside of the prophets of Baal. Right? Ahab wouldn't have had a choice. But she stayed back there. She never showed. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it would have fell right down on top of her head if she'd have been there. Amen? Listen, make no mistake. These events rocked the supporters of Baal worship, and Jezebel was a little more than offended. I like that. Listen, I like when the world says, well, I'm offended by what those Christians say. Now, I'm not talking about going out there and just trying to lambast them. I'm talking about when the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought up and somebody is offended by that. I like that. That means that something is going right. Amen? Over in Acts chapter 5, when Peter told the Pharisees, we ought to obey God rather than men, the spirit of Jezebel flared up in them, and they were cut to the heart and took counsel to kill the disciples. That's the kind of response that this world has to the Lord Jesus Christ. It drives me nuts that every time some community that's had the Ten Commandments in their school forever and a day, and this lost world finds out about it, they want to come in and just sue them into oblivion to get rid of it. You know what that is? That's being cut so deep that they want to kill him. Right? The spirit of Jezebel. That's a horrible spirit to have. Hebrews chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. A lot of times that's what men say. They say, well, you know, I've got the Bible and I should be like a sword. You know, before you can ever be a sword, you have to be in some fire. Amen. You know what it starts out as? It starts out as just a chunk of steel. That's what you start out as. And they come along and they take that and they get some heat and they get that thing going and they stick that steel down in there and they heat that thing up real hot. And they pull it out and they bang it with a hammer. Amen? You want the power of God on you? You want to be sharper than any two-edged sword? Get ready to go in the fire. God just doesn't take a piece of steel and just polishes that. Listen, that thing goes through a process. I didn't just get here yesterday. This is 30-some years of being put in the fire, taken out, whacked with a hammer, put back in the fire, taken out, whacked with a hammer, put in the fire, taken out, whacked with a hammer. Amen? That's service for the Lord. You say, what does that get me? You'll start to be shaped into something that God can use. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, a lot of times people know Bible verses, but they don't know how to use them. And if that Bible verse does anything for a lost person or does anything to minister to someone, most of the time you didn't have anything to do with it anyway. Amen. You simply just quoted God's word. Amen. It was God that did something with that thing. Amen? And if you say, well, Lord, I want to be used like that more often, He goes, okay, that's good. Let me get the fire stoked up. Because I guarantee you, that's where you're headed. You're headed into the fire. Look at 1 Kings 19, verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So Jezebel sends a threatening message, probably on Twitter, or on Facebook, and she sends out a message now, I'm going to get you. How many times have you been defeated by a simple text message? How many times have you been defeated by something you read on Facebook? You come through a great battle. The Lord might have used you in something. He's had His hand down upon you and He's guided you and He's led you through just a really miraculous thing. And then somebody comes along and throws out a message out there and now you're discouraged. They say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will. But boy, they sure do, don't they? In fact, they hurt so bad. I've seen just a simple text message, take a Christian clean out of the race. You know what I tell folks that I text with back and forth? Don't ever take anything that I text to you too serious, because you don't know the context I'm sending it to you in. You know, I may be going down the highway at 65 miles an hour. No. I'm sorry, I do not do that. My wife would be the one texting, and I would be driving. Amen? Jezebel sends a threatening message promising to kill Elijah within 24 hours. And Elijah probably thought the matter was over and that all the people would repent. Isn't that how it is? You go street preaching or you hand out some tracts and automatically you think, everybody's going to get right, it's going to be great. Man, I've talked to 10 people. There's going to be 10 people here that I've invited to church Sunday. And you stand out by that door and you watch. They don't come and you watch. Amen? God ain't going to break their free will to make you look good, make you be happy. Amen? And then you get all upset over those things. Some folks just, they're just not going to get right, brother. Some folks just ain't going to come to church. Some folks, like the guy that I go visit that I say, receive or reject. Some folks, I hope he does, but some folks just aren't going to get it. You say, is that discouraging? Yeah, a little bit. But you keep going. Let me ask you something tonight. What will it take to knock you out of the fight? What will it take? Not just always another man. I'm telling you, sometimes the biggest defeater of Christians is their self. Because they go home and they sit down and they try to rehash what they've done. And they try to put themselves in control of that thing when God had a handle on it the whole time. Listen, soul winning is this. God working both sides of that conversation. Me and him. God's working me to try to lead him to the Lord. God's putting some pressure on his heart to try and get him to understand that he's lost. I have really no place in that thing. I can do the best I can to give him the Bible verses. But it's going to be up to him. There's been many a times I've gone home from the nursing home and I thought, man, this is fruitless. But you know what? That's satanic for me to be thinking like that. God says, you went down there like I told you to do. I'm in control of it. Amen? We take ourselves out. When I first got hurt, I had to have some shoes that had Velcros because I couldn't quite tie. And so I had these Velcroed shoes. They were like, and this was back in the 80s, so, you know, there was one of the first Velcro shoes. I could hardly hold a toothbrush. There was a reason to quit, I thought. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I had folks around me that said, keep going, keep going, keep going. You know what I'm saying to you tonight? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Carnal hearts are hardened and often enraged against God when their sin is exposed. You know, a lot of times folks will get real angry at hard preaching. You know why? Their heart can't take it. Oh, they'll blame the pastor. They'll blame the preacher. But who they're really blaming is themselves. Because he hit on their sin. Everybody loves when you come in and preach on somebody else's sin. Amen? I could probably start going down a list of all of the churches out there that I don't like and all the problems, and y'all probably be going, amen, and throwing, you know, songbooks up in the air, and we'd be having a good time. Until I hit your particular sin. And then it's going to be, oh, who's he think he is? And this is what you'll say. Does he think he's so much better than me? No. It just struck your heart. And your heart hardened to that thing. Amen? Jezebel, she's completely irrational and she's out of control with anger at this point. She says, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life, Elijah, as the life of one of those dead Baal prophets by tomorrow about this time.
I think Jezebel so feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, she just sent a threatening letter. I don't know that she had the power to do anything physical. Jezebel feared the people. And I think she feared that if those people took over and started backing Elijah, it wasn't going to be long before her neck was gone. Amen? People today use social media to say some of the most vile, disgusting, offensive things about people that they disagree with. Amen? And you know why? Because you're sitting in a room and no one can see what you're writing. And you might even have a, not even using your name, it might be a handle that you've, you know, picked up on. John 3:16. And you're on there battling over the deep, dark things of the Bible. And you finally find somebody that you disagree with and you just let something fly. But nobody knows you, right? Amen. Look at 1 Kings 19:3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. Elijah's great fight turns into a great flight. Listen, you're not going to catch me being hard here on Elijah. He just stood in a great battle. He watched the hand of God make it rain. Fire come down from heaven, consume the burnt offering. Amen? He just witnessed all of that. He's riding this great high. He just saw some really good things happen. And Jezebel throws out a threatening letter. And he goes to pieces. It wasn't too long ago that we had a woman that had been in the occult for most of her life. Pretty horrific stuff. She's dying of kidney failure. We were able to talk to her and we were able to lead her to the Lord. For us, it was a great victory. We saw that as an amazing victory because of what that woman had been through and the trauma, I'm saying the trauma she had been through in her life. This was more than just looking at stuff on the internet and you know, dressing up in black. This woman went through some trauma in this occult. And it was a great victory to see her saved. We got in the car and I looked at my wife and I said, get ready. Get ready. The devil's not going to let this thing go unanswered. Amen? You ever had a victory in the Lord and then turn around the next day and it gets answered with a letter, a threatening letter? The Christian life is full of trials and tribulations, and courage can turn to fear in mere seconds, and even the most battle-weary Christian soldier isn't immune, and exhaustion from the battle sets in. Amen? I have a hard time even telling you this, but I'm going to anyway because I think it applies. But when we really started to see the nursing home ministry grow and the Lord was starting to pull me towards the mission field and some things started happening, I only not went through some changes spiritually. I believe I was drawing closer to God because I was praying more and I was in my Bible more and I was doing the things I needed to do to have a closer fellowship with God. But things around my life started to change too. I saw attacks where I had never saw attacks before. I started waking up in the middle of the night just terrified. Absolutely something there. But I didn't know what it was. You say, what is that? That's a spiritual war. You want the power of God to preach? You want the power of God to serve Him? Listen, you're entering into a spiritual battle. One that's real. You'll face things that you won't have any idea of what it is, and all you'll be able to do is cry out in the middle of the night, "Oh, Lord." I was so scared the first couple times it would happen. I thought I was having a heart attack. It was that bad. Say, what'd you do? All I could do was quote Bible verses. The only Bible verse I could remember was, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the world." That's how bad my fear was. I began to understand what we were dealing with. I didn't wake my wife up. You know, there's some things she doesn't need to know. I don't tell my wife everything that I'm dealing with in the ministry. You know why? She'd be real worried if I did. There's things I just have to keep to myself because it's too much for her. God did not call her to preach. Amen? God did not call her to the mission field. God did not call her to the nursing home ministry. But she's been faithful by my side, being a helpmeet in that thing. And I treat her with kindness and love on that and respect. But she's not a partner in this ministry. And I have to be very careful with that. Listen, sometimes in a battle, you'll suffer some fatigue. And you find yourself giving in to Jezebel. Amen? Look at verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" Some years ago, when I might have told you folks about it, some years ago I had a sort of an accident on a treadmill, and I had gotten a small pressure sore that kept me down for 3 years on my stomach. 3 years of my life. There was a point in time in that when I prayed, "Enough! I'm done." Just take me home. Amen. You know what that is? It was in that fire. I didn't like that fire. "Lord, take me out," and he'd whack, put me back in that fire. Let me ask you this. What do you think that does for me now when I go into a nursing home and I'm ministering to somebody that's been in bed for 6 to 8 months or the last 2 years? Listen, when I take them by the hand, you know what they know? They know I've been where they've been. They know when I say I understand, they know that I'm telling them the truth. I'm not saying that you have to go through something like that, but I'm telling you, if you're going to be in the fire, get ready to use it for God. You find yourself sometimes giving in to Jezebel. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under a juniper tree. Listen, we all need rest every now and then, and even preachers. The Bible says in Psalms 37:7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Everybody that's got good patience, raise your hand. I'll go ahead and keep mine down. I'm not patient. "Lord, I want to go now. I want to go now. Lord, let's go now. Let's do it now. Lord, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I want to go." That's me. And the Lord goes, no. Why? Because his timing's right. Every time I've stepped out onto something on my own, knowing that God wasn't in it, I have made a mess of it. Amen? And every time that I've gone out into something that I knew God was in and it turned out to be a mess, God guided me through it. There's a difference. I'm not saying just because God's in it that it's going to be roses. It might be the opposite. But if God is in it and you're doing it the way he's told you to do it, man, I'm telling you, you'll get somewhere in that. Listen, we all need rest. Sometimes we need a little bit of rest. Sometimes I'm forced to rest. Every now and then I have to take a day or two and I have to stay down. I have to get out of my wheelchair and I have to get on my bed. And a lot of times I'll take some notebooks and stuff with me and do some studying. But I have to rest my body physically. I've been doing this for almost 40 years. My body's breaking down. Amen? I have to know what my limitations are. So I can't just keep going until I'm completely exhausted. Christian life is the same way. Sometimes you have to understand, man, I'm exhausted. Now that doesn't mean don't go to church. I'm not saying that. But sometimes you have to look at where the exhaustion's coming in from. Amen? Sometimes you need to sit back and just be ministered to. There was a day that I went into the nursing home and it was hot. It was, we didn't have any electricity at our house, so they were doing something out there, and it was about 109 degrees. And so I was trying to get dressed, trying to go to the nursing home, and my heart wasn't in that thing, and I didn't want to go, and I had a bad attitude, and I didn't know what I was going to preach. And I got a bunch of these people down there at the nursing home, and I got to go down there, and I'm on a time frame, and I'm yelling at my 13-year-old at the time, and I'm saying, get ready, we have to go, I want you to go with me, come on, go serve God with me, Daniel, come on. That's how it was. Amen? Don't you want to serve God? It'll be fun. Come on, let's go. Amen? I get down there, and the whole way I'm driving down there, I'm going, I bet I can't find a parking spot. All them people are going to have a parking spot down there. I'm not going to have a parking spot. I should have just canceled today. I don't have any electricity. I don't even know what I'm doing down there these days anyway. I pull in. There's a parking spot right out front. I should have stopped right then and said, oh, thank you, God. But I didn't. Get out. Daniel and I get out. And we go into the nursing home. And as we're going into the nursing home, there's piano playing in the chapel. And I thought, all right, what other church showed up? It's my day. I'm kicking them out. I drove all the way down here to serve God, and these people are going to get it. They're going to listen to my preaching today. Come on, Daniel, grab my guitar. It says we're going in there. And as I go in, there's this older woman, she's probably close to 90, playing a piano, and all of our folks are in there, and this man greets me at the door, and he says, preacher, we just wanted you to come in today to some music. And that broke me right there. And I remembered what I was there for. And I knew I needed some rest. I was doing everything right. I was studying the way that I was supposed to be. My prayer life was consistent. I was doing everything that was required of me to minister to those folks down there, except for one thing. I wasn't giving God my heart. I was giving Him everything I had physically, but I wasn't giving Him my heart. And sometimes you just got to say, Lord, here's my heart. Take and seal it. Amen? Take your Bible, turn over to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Oh, boy, I got to hurry. Acts chapter 28. You know what this story is? This is, historically, this is Paul, and he's a prisoner of Rome, and he's on his way to stand trial before Caesar, and Paul had just stood before Agrippa and Festus and Bernice, and they're traveling by ship now, and they get caught in a Euryclide, and they're tossed about, and Paul had warned the ship's captain before they departed, saying, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. You know what I know about life? It's going to be with much hurt, with hurt and much damage. Amen? Heartbreak? You ever had your heart broken? I told somebody the other night, in all of my entire life, Nobody's ever broke my heart like my children. Amen? If they haven't broke your heart yet, wait till they turn into teenagers. The storm probably started out, they started out sailing out of there. It was probably a pretty nice day. Beautiful sky. Everything seemed to be all right. They had a ship full of stuff and they're headed out. That's how life is. Amen? Only with us is the farther into the journey we get, the more stuff we pile on. I told you stuff, superficial things, unnecessary for fulfillment. Stuff. That's what your stuff is. But then off there in the distance, and this is how it always happens, off out there in the distance, there's a little bit of a dark cloud, maybe a little bit of lightning. For us, a lot of times that comes from a phone call. Amen? A doctor that says, hey, I need you to come back in. We want to run those tests again. Or a phone call at 2 a.m. that says, hey, you need to come down to the hospital. Starts out as a little bit of a storm. The next thing you know, you're raged in this horrendous nightmare. You know what storms will do? Storms will leave you dazed. They'll leave you disoriented. And they'll leave you devastated. And sometimes the storms of life are our own doing. And God will use a catastrophic event in our lives to bring fellowship between us and Him. Amen? You ever gone through something? Isn't that when you pray the most? Your prayer is more sincere when you're in that storm. Your prayer with God is more sincere when it's down in that fire than any other time. Am I right? That's when we draw closest to Him. Man, if that's the case, wouldn't He want to keep us there? He wants that fellowship, right? If that's the only way that you're going to have a good fellowship with God is being in the storm all the time, I would think God would want to keep you right there. I've met folks that as long as they were in the storm, they were right there close to God. But as soon as the storm let up, off they were. You know the rest of the story with the uncontrollable ship in the midst of the storm at sea. The captain takes up the anchors and he loosens the bands and he hoists the mainsail. By now they've dumped all their stuff over into the ocean and they just drive that thing on into the shore, right? And the men go into the water. Some go floating in on boards. Some go swimming in strong. And then here we find the people, the barbarians there, and they've made a little fire And here's Paul. Paul's gathering sticks. Look at verse 1. It says, and when they were escaped, when they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Here's Paul. He's out there trying to do something. He's trying to pick up sticks. In those days, that was women's work and children's work. I'm not trying to, but that's what they did. They picked it. But here's Paul. And he's out there picking up sticks. If you apply that to today, you know what Paul's doing? Paul's down at the church and he's running the vacuum. Paul's mowing grass. Paul's cleaning windows or he's doing something for the church. You know where vipers stay? You'll always find vipers down there where there's work. I was talking to a young lady today that said she got bit in a field by a snake. And I got to thinking about that. You know what happens is when a snake bites you, that it injects venom. Luckily for this young lady, what a blessing it was that the venom didn't get into her. Man, that's excellent. Listen, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to get bit by a viper. He says that Paul, what he did is when he got bit, he shook it off in the fire. You know what Paul knew? Paul knew where the fire was. And so he shook it off right away. You know what else Paul knew? Paul knew not to go crazy and sling that snake around because he might throw it into a younger Christian. Or he might panic the people around him. He simply got bit and he shook it off and he went on about his business. You know what a lot of times we do when we're bit? Well, I'm bit and everybody's going to know it. When you get bit by a viper, there's usually some venom that gets injected in that. With Christians, it's often the venom of dissatisfaction or the venom of disappointment or the venom of discouragement or the venom of disorientation. You're working along, you're trying to do something for God, and you're bit. Why am I bit? I go to church every Sunday. I'm trying to witness. I'm trying to do right. And now I'm bit. Well, if this way it's going to be, God, I just don't want to do it anymore. And the next thing you know, with the venom of still getting pumped into their arm and the snake hanging off of them, they walk out of the church never to return. And that snake never stops pumping venom into them. And you find them 5 or 10 years, and they're just out. And it all started with them trying to serve God, trying to do something. But I'm telling you, if you're going to do anything for God, you might as well expect you're going to get bit. Somewhere, somehow. There's oftentimes folks will start, you know, why am I picking up sticks? How come them other prisoners are just standing over there around the fire and I'm picking up the sticks? How come the preacher don't say hi to me this morning? Amen? Didn't he see me down here washing windows on Saturday? And you become dissatisfied with the things in your life over that. Listen, it don't need to be like that. But this goes on in churches every single day. And here Elijah is. He's had this great victory. And instead of just trusting in the Lord, I mean, the hand of the Lord's on him. Man, he's just one letter and he's just quit. He's just given up. The first time I faced adversity in the nursing home ministry, and I'm just dissatisfied. My heart had to get broke on that thing. Amen? There's a venom of disappointment. Look at verse 3. There came a viper out of the heat. When Paul had gathered in a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. You know, one of the biggest problems in Bible-believing Baptist churches today is brethren watching. Man, I guarantee if I watch anybody long enough, I'm going to see things that's going to disappoint me. That can't be your reason for being here today. The reason for being here today has to be Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you excited about going to heaven? You don't have to raise your hand here, but how many of you ever led somebody to the Lord? You know, there was a time when I had never led anybody to the Lord. And I began to go to the altar and I said, Lord, I want to win somebody to you. That became a desire. I started to take my eyes off of all these other things and all these other positions and places in the church that I could have possibly gone to. And instead, I started having a desire to want to see souls saved. And that was my prayer every time I went to the altar. God, would you please give me somebody that I can lead to you? Please, God, please give me somebody. And it wasn't too long after that, God finally gave me somebody that I could win to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that was one of the greatest times of my life. I got prayer answered, and I saw somebody get saved. Amen? That was a good victory. That was an exciting victory. I saw the hand of God in that thing. But you know, it wasn't very long after that, I got bit. And man, I wanted to just let everybody know I got bit. I wanted everybody to suffer the same way that I was suffering over the injustice that was done to me. I wanted them to see it and feel it. But you know what I had to do? If I wanted to keep seeing souls saved, I had to shake that off. You know, I've heard Christians say before, I'll never forgive them for that. I was in a car deal with them about 7 years ago, and they did me wrong, and I'll never forgive them. You know what? They're bit. They need to find the fire. They need to shake that off and get rid of that. You're working hard. You're busy for God. You're trying to be obedient. You're reading your Bible. You're trying to do all the things that you're supposed to be doing. And you get bit. Amen. You have to watch the dissatisfaction. You have to watch the disappointment. You have to watch the discouragement. Come on over here and we'll end this thing up. Look over at, back over in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me show you some things that you need to do to get through this, and then we'll call it a day. Listen, you need to have some daily contact with God. You need to learn to pray. Amen? Listen, you need to learn to pray. Not half-hearted, but with your full heart, you need to learn to pray. You can't pray in your car on your way to work. Now, you can, but that can't be your main prayer. I pray all the time in the car. That's good. You have to have some time alone with God. Listen, you need to just pour yourself out to God in that private time too. You need to learn to pray. You need to have some daily contact with God. Not half-hearted, not half-brained, and not half-spirited. Pray like it means something to you. Parents, let your kids see you pray. I used to have my kids pray. Every now and then I'd call on my boys to pray. That was one of the greatest things in our house, is to listen to my children pray. Have my children pray for me. That was a great thing. Amen? You know what I used to do with the boys? I used to say, hey, I'm lost. If I don't receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to die and go to hell. Lead me to the Lord. Amen? And then I'd get them to ask me some questions. You get them used to that thing. Listen, that way when they get rejected and they're out there in the world and they start dealing with somebody and they get bit, they're going to know how to just shake off the snake and keep going. Right? We need that. Listen, adults, you need that too. Practice it. Say, practice leading somebody to the Lord? Oh, yeah. Practice what you're going to say. Get the Bible verses down. You'd be surprised on how easy that really is. Listen, when you're praying, you need to be asking for the right things. One of the very first prayers I had was, God, please let me lead someone to Christ. And then I said, the very next prayer after that is, Lord, let me be faithful in soul winning. You can't be faithful in soul winning until you actually win a soul. Amen? Say, I want to be a great soul winner. Well, have you got your first one yet? Listen, daily contact with God. You need to have daily contact also with God's Word. You know the Bible is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible provides discernment that you need. A lot of times with young Christians, you know what they don't have? They got good Bible knowledge, but they don't have any discernment. Man, there's times when you could just put somebody in hell just like that. That's good, but not always does that apply. Try doing that at the bedside of an 80 or 90-year-old woman. It's harder than you think. Amen? Daily contact with God's Word, and finally, you need to have some daily contact with God's people. Amen? The Lord knows our enemy. Turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. I'm trying to hurry here for you folks. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and look at verse 31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." You know what the Lord knew? He knew you needed prayer. He knew your enemy. Listen, Satan knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. Amen. The second that you're into, you think you got something conquered, man, up it pops again. Sometimes I tell folks, you know, they say, "Well, I've finally conquered this." I always say, "Well, don't get too cocky about that." Amen. Thank God for an advocate and an intercessor. Get close to someone who gets prayers answered. Peter should have just said, "Thank you, Lord," and went on about his business. Amen. 24 verses later, Satan sifts Peter and Peter denies Jesus. Listen, Christians make mistakes. I like that song, "It's Under the Blood." I have family members that for a long time they would remind me of where I came. And I started saying that, "Hey, that's not who I am anymore. It's under the blood." But you know who's harder on you than that lost world? You are. Because you won't forget, you won't forgive yourself for some things that has happened in the past. And until you can get those things out and forgive yourself and go on, God's not going to be able to use you in the way that you can be used. Amen? Listen, you've got a great thing in this salvation. I'll end with this. I saw where last year there was a disabled man down in Florida, and he had gotten down into a lagoon and was drowning. And there were some kids that were standing down there and they were videotaping it with their camera. And no one called for help. And no one helped him. And they just watched and kind of mocked as he splashed around in that black water and slowly sunk down to the bottom of that lagoon and he drowned. The state's attorney, they took it to court, and the state's attorney finally said, "There's no law that says the boys should have called the police or even that they had to help." And so they got off scot-free. Now listen. Nothing says that you need to win a soul to get into heaven. But we're not much different than those boys standing there with that camera watching that man drown and never saying a word. If we don't do everything we can to try to win this lost world to Jesus Christ, and we can't go out there and try to win this lost world to Jesus Christ until we learn to deal with the disappointments and the vipers that attach to our arm and get rid of them quick and get on about the business of the Lord. Amen? If you're going to go and you're going to win souls and you're going to try and serve God, you're going to get bit. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it. And you're going to have to learn that after those great victories is going to come some great disappointments and great dissatisfactions.